I felt I just wanted to say how pleased and happy that I am that I have been able to make this trip to America and to Myrtle Beach in particular, where I always feel that I have very special links because I was here in 1952 with Baba and in 1958. It was only when two of the English group offered to come with me that I felt that I could make the trip, and I felt Baba nudging me to come. I was almost overwhelmed at its harvest with the love and affection and kindness shown to me, and I'm very grateful to them for giving me the opportunity to come over. Baba said that spiritual revival would take place in America. And I started to feel this very strongly as Jane brought us here. I suddenly felt Baba was almost in the car with us, and there was a feeling of overwhelming love. He told us about this revival, spiritual revival, and he gave us this inspiring message of the New Age, which I read at the opening of the Sahavas. The new brotherhood on earth shall be a fulfilled fact, and nations will be united in the fraternity of love and truth. My existence is for this love and this truth. To suffering humanity I say, have hope. I have come to help you in surrendering yourselves to the cause of God and in accepting His grace of love and truth. I have come to help you in winning the one victory of all victories, to win yourself. I think you're now going to see the Baba in Italy film, and after that I will answer any questions you might care to put to me. At least I hope I can. Is that okay?
Just a moment here. Let me... put Marion right here.
Well, I can't hear anyone. I can hear anyone along here, but not at the back, perhaps.
And so Marion will repeat the question if not audible from here.
No one wants to ask the question. That's fantastic.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Yes. You know how you were before Baba came into your life. And
yes,
can
I
you
do.
Think of some way in which those early days, he changed, transformed your the way you were?
It didn't happen immediately, but I think before I met Baba, I was in partnership with my brother and sister-in-law running a little experimental theater. But always in my life I had this deep desire to find God. But I had been dabbling in all different types of isms and cults. And when I went up to Chalico and heard about Baba, I had this strong feeling that, of course, I must meet Baba. But I had the conventional idea that meeting the Christ would be a very solemn, holy affair. And to prove me wrong, really, and to perhaps attack my smugness, Baba arranged, I'm sure, for me to meet him for the first time in the theater. I had an appointment to meet him the next day at City's house. And that night, Margaret phoned me and said, Baba wants to go to the theater, and we've taken a box at White Horse Inn, a musical comedy. So instead of this solemn, holy affair, I was led into this box in this colossal theater, and Baba was sitting there, and they put him in a horrible hat, but he'd taken that off, and his hair was flowing down. He looked really very beautiful. And I was sat next to him, but I had to have complete control and not say anything. And I heard Baba chuckling at the fat man, and he would seem delighted with the show. It was quite a nice, jolly show. And it was interesting that it should be called White Horse Inn, because according to the Hindus, Baba, it's the age of the White Horse Avatar. And Nehru, when she saw Baba Jan, apparently expressed the desire for a white horse, which she got. Now, does that explain? I got a shock. Baba gave me that shock. Because if I'd met him the next day, I would have fallen weeping at his feet. I did, of course, the next day, and then he enveloped me in his arms, and the first thing that he said, it is not chance that brings you here. Does that answer it?
When did you live in Panama?
When did you live in Panama?
Well, in 1911, the whole family went to live in England, and I've lived there ever since. I have paid visits to Panama since, and in one instant, when I was there, Baba cabled me to go to India with Jean Adria, and we stayed there 3 months. And then he said, you are to go back to Panama. I just come from there, but he said, you're to go back to Panama, you're to arrange for me to come, and I'll come with Behar and Lani and all the Mandali. So I stayed 6 weeks in London, went back, arranged for a little chalet for him, and all the visas could have been arranged, because my cousin had met Baba at his chalet when he was 16 years of age. No sooner had I done that than a cable came, return England immediately, instructions when you arrive in England. And the instructions were to cancel all plans, that Baba was starting on the new life, and we must make up our minds that we might never see him again. Of course, it didn't work out that way.
A little boy here is asking the question, when did Baba die?
Well, they say that Baba gave up his body in 1969.
What time of day?
What time of day? I can't remember. Why did he want to know that? That's interesting.
He asked me that this morning.
What?
He asked me this morning.
What time? He asked this morning. How extraordinary. Now, no, you should ask him if he's satisfied with the answer, because it will puzzle him. Yes. Oh.
Were you in touch with Baba during the war, and what were your thoughts on what he was doing for the world during the war?
Yes. I had personal letters from him when he was still signing MS Irani, But after that, he didn't do those dictated letters anymore. He'd say to Margaret, you write to Delia, or Kitty, I think I had some letters from her. And I was kept in touch. But I was very busy during the war, and I was able to hold Barbara's meeting and make it a real, in a way, Barbara Centre, where I worked, which was really rather extraordinary. I felt that I learnt a lot during the war.
What were your feelings on what Barbara was doing?
I felt there was that he was doing his universal work in stirring up the whole world, and the whole face of the map was being altered. I think it was the beginning of the changing of peoples, refugees, and coming to different countries and bringing their own type of religion and creeds. I don't know if that is... Well, Barbara said that Hitler did the work he had to do. He was mad, but that was his destiny, to do that work. Would you agree there, Kitty?
Yes.
That was exactly what Barbara said. And I was reading in Mershina Duse's book, and she verified that Barbara had said that to her. And she said to him, in this age, will the Jews accept you? Because she thought perhaps Carrie Ben Shammai, a lover of Barbara, would spread the word. And he said, yes, because he had come to bring all religions together like beads on one string. And whatever you believe in, Barbara said, if you want to follow your special religion, follow it, but do it in a better way. But when you love Barbara, it's Barbara that counts, and what he says. I don't know if that answers you.
Can you remember any other stories of Barbara in Italy that weren't in the movie?
Yes, I think there were quite a lot. Well, there was the ghost story, but I won't tell that because Margaret has told that so beautifully in her book. But she said that I was the one that started shrieking. But as far as I can remember, everybody felt there were two ghosts, not one. And I shared a room with Kitty. And Kitty had a habit of walking up and down practically all night eating biscuits or chocolate. And so I thought I'll go on the terrace, and there was a hammock there, so I put myself in the hammock, and suddenly I gave a shriek and fell out of the hammock. And I think Norina felt her hair was pulled. Anyway, there was such a commotion that night that Barbara sent Carper to find out what it was all about. And the next day, just as Margaret puts in the book, Barbara congratulated the Westerners on their bravery.
I think talking about that story, I remember that I was waiting and sitting also very near the front door, because my brother was coming back from China that night, and it was going to be very late. It was in when he was in the Portuguese. And I heard three knocks on the door, and so I went thinking it was my brother arriving from China, when he was singing Portofino, And I went to the door, and there was nobody there, so I went back to bed. And then after a little while again, I heard three knocks. So that I, that was my experience of the ghost.
Do you remember, Kitty, the episode when we were walking and there was a man in a tent? It was a private part, and Baba called Herbert to come down, and Herbert refused because he said, "That's not good manners." And Baba called him again, and I think he refused again. And then Baba explained that the man there was the replica of an agent which he had wanted Herbert to see, would meet and recognize through seeing that man. That's right.
Well, it's fairly right, but I think you've
What did you find most difficult in Baba's training with you? What things in yourself did you find most difficult in the training that he gave you?
Oh dear. Well, I think one thing was that I am inclined to give in to people and take the line of least resistance. And I think Baba, in order to always put me up against rather dominating people. In all the Baba world, I seemed always to be put against someone who had a very striking personality, usually rather tall. And he wanted to back up me. And I think the one that comes to my mind most clearly was Jean Adriel, when I travelled out with her to India. And we eventually, when we got to Mehrabad, we had a room. Kitty was there, so I don't think you remember this. And Jean and I shared the room, and Jean had a passion for fresh air, and she wouldn't listen to I didn't like a draught blown backwards and forwards. She opened both windows, and in the morning when I think I didn't feel at all well, so I said to Kitty, we were due to go and meet Barbara to see two long films in the town, and I said, I don't think I can go. And Kitty said, you've got to go, and you've got to put on your best dress. So of course I did, and then Baba let me lie down for a bit, but he never said anything. Then when we moved to the villa in Ahmednagar, Baba called me, and he said, Kitty told me what happened. And he said, why didn't you fight her? And I said, oh, Bob, I couldn't do that. It would be so unpleasant. We're only here for a short time. So he took me by the hand and he said, I will do it for you. And he took me in and he made Jean move from the best position in the room to the position that I had been allotted by her. And I knew then that Baba did it then, but he wouldn't keep on doing it. So whenever this sort of situation arose again, I remember that. And I think I became more of a fighter after that, when the situation arose.
What was your first meeting like with Nera?
Oh, delightful. Yes. When we met them first, the first trip, and Baba had told us how beautiful Nera was and how much she loved him. And I could honestly say I was never jealous of Nera because I realized that was her role. And she was a very special person. And of course, Marnie was delightful with her. stories and mimicry, and we just, I think, fitted in and enjoyed them. I think Barbara used that to stir up some other women who really became jealous of Mehra.
I want to ask you, you have had a lot to do with the younger people coming
yes.
to Barbara in England. What are some of the feelings you have about all the young people, especially in the late 60s, that came to
yes.
Barbara?
Yes. Well, that was, for me, a most stimulating, delightful experience. It just happened that the Hopkinsons were in America, Charles Purdom had died and Will Beckett, and I was almost alone at that time, in a way, running the English group. And suddenly, at one of our meetings, four young people pushed the door open and rushed in. And we gave them, we were just the four of us there, we gave them something to read. And I heard after that one of them said, "Don't think there's anything for us here. We must find Barbara some other way." They'd read about Barbara, you see, and heard we had these meetings. So it happened that night I wrote to them and said, "Please come and see me and see photographs of Barbara." And then a whole lot of them came up. And through that, at that time, there were no all taking drugs. They were all on marijuana, some LSD, and one young woman was on, had been taking heroin. So they came to see me, and then through that, what they brought Peter Townsend. And he said that we could use his studio for our meetings, so that was our first place that we functioned for meetings at his studio at Wardour Street. And I felt an immediate sympathy for Peter. And I sent a little booklet about the Who to India. And when Marnie was looking at it, Barbara came into the room and he looked at it and put his hand on Peter's face. And I always felt that Peter had a very special work to do for Barbara. It was a very exciting period with all those young people, for me anyway. Most of them still there, and all of them have gave up drugs very quickly.
You were just mentioning during the 60s, many people were speaking. How do you feel about, I guess the youth now?
You say that in the 60s many people were seeking.
Yes.
How do you feel about the youth now?
Well, we haven't had it. Any young people coming in England. And from what I can understand, it's not like the flower children and who were seeking God or mystical experiences. I think the young people today seem quite different. But somehow, since that Band Aid program, I have the feeling that there's going to be some sort of an upsurge. Because, I said it the other night, I heard that Upasana Maharaj had said, when the men and women of the West sing and dance in praise of God, the spiritual revival will take place. And I think that's probably beginning to happen. You are here, so you know more than I do of what's happening in America. But again, Barbara said, the revival would take place in America, so it must happen here first, I think.
Expand a little bit on that. What do you think changes will happen in the next 20 years or so?
Could you expand on that a little bit? What changes you think may happen in the next 20 years or so?
Oh dear, fancy asking me that.
Both generally and in Mehra Barbara's following.
Well, I can see a terrific expansion here since I was there in 1952 and 58. I think it's quite fantastic what's happened. I went from the centre with Jane today, and I hear that 300 people are now living round here. So it's going to become a barber place. And people from all over the states will come to hear about barber. Do you mean young people or just people?
That answers that part of the question. The other part is, I'm just asking you to sort of speculate on the future. What do you think the world is going to, what's going to happen in the world in the next 20 years?
You see, I think another thing that's happening is all this upheaval of people starving and refugees coming over. I know it's that's happening in England. We have people of all different types and castes and creeds, and they're all building their own mosques or temples. And maybe through that, in some sense, there'll be more tolerance. I don't know, I'm hoping so.
Over 50 years of being with Baba, what is the one thing that is enabling you to hold on to in your mind?
With over 50 years of being with Baba, what has been the strongest thing to make you hold on to his Dharma?
Well, Baba's love, and I have complete faith in Baba. I accept him, and there's nothing for me but Baba. There's no question. I feel Baba is in me and through me, as he said, and just as he's in all of you. And there's nothing else in my life but Baba.
Baba gave us each a special Persian name, and the name he gave to Delia was Leila, and Leila means the faithful one.
I must say, I rather wish, I don't know, I thought it wasn't very exciting to be faithful.
Do you mean?
Well,
I
don't
and you were with him in Europe in the 30s, and I'm just wondering if you, as you began to feel his spiritual significance.
Oh, you mean, did I think Baba was going to speak? Do you mean that?
No.
Thinking
of being with Baba near St. Mark's and the other.
When he was declaring
that.
When Baba was with you and in places associated with Christ, life, did this have an impression upon you?
In Kashmir, he did say that Jesus was buried on that mountain. But I accepted that Baba, it was one of his incarnations. And that in this, as Baba said, this would be a full-scale manifestation of divinity. Isn't that so, Kitty?
Did you immediately accept him as Jesus, as the Avatar?
Yes. There was never any question in my mind.
Did you ever have a wish to get married?
before I met Barbara, yes. But I do advocate marriage. I think people, you know, whatever anyone else says, it's better to get married, yes. I think. A little story that brings in Kit. I must apologize for my voice because I've got a bit of a cold. No, I don't need water, it's just a bit. But Kit said yesterday about Barbara's pleasure, that it was more important than obedience and love. And I thought of the time in Switzerland when we were going up the mountain in a peninsula, and Barbara decided he suddenly wanted radishes, and we had stopped, they stop at different stations, and to our amazement, Kitty sprang out, rushed into the house opposite, and demanded radishes, and she did bring them back. Now, I wouldn't have dreamt of doing that, much as I would have liked to have obeyed Barbara, but then the next one was, Barbara decided he wanted potato chips. So Kitty went to the best hotel in Lugano. We were there with Barbara at the Hotel Eden, and demanded potato chips. And again she got them. And to cap it off, she sent a cable to England to Quentin Todd, please send potato chips for Barbara. So that is thinking more of Barbara's pleasure, but she did obey him as well. Oh, no one wants to ask anything, does? Oh, yes.
What did you think when that first group of young people like Peter showed up at your door? How did you respond to that sudden appearance?
Well, I felt completely at home with them. I just loved them, and in a way, I became one of them. I remembered, too, what Barbara had said, that you must not talk above people's heads, you must come down to their level at the moment. And I felt I was fitting in to what they were feeling at that time. I joined all the parties. At that time I was capable of staying up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. The one thing I found that I did try to correct was that they were always late. If you asked them to come at 3 o'clock, they came at 5. And I tried to tell them that Barbara was very particular about punctuality. But it didn't have any effect. Then, of course, I used to put back the time. And if I wanted them to come at 3, I'd say, come at 11. So that was all right. I think Peter was pretty punctual because he's quite business-like, really.
In what way
did your relationship with Barbara change after he dropped his body? Well, I did miss the feeling that Barbara was there and that I could write to him. Well, we weren't allowed to write, but if anything special happened, we were allowed to cable. And it was a feeling of security. But then I began to feel Barbara more inwardly. I felt he was still there.
Do you have a favorite memory of being with Barbara, a happiest time that you often think of?
Well, I think the two special times were in Italy. One in Italy and one at Nasik. One was, I think it, I described it before, when he allowed us to be with him in complete silence, and we all sat just looking at him, and he had on that royal blue jacket. And the other was in Nasik, when he used to sit on the grass and allow, tell us to sit round him, and in complete silence, and he just said, just look at me. And those, I think, to me, being in that silence with Baba made me understand better the meaning of his silence. What do you think, Kitty?
What is the question?
About being with Baba in silence. It was a wonderful experience for me to be over here for the opening of this place. And first of all, we had about a week with Baba when he was preparing for the big opening and discussing things with Elizabeth. And we played croquet and walked on the beach. And one thing he said, he wanted Gabriel Pascal to come. And he said to me, phone Pascal. And I went and tried to get Pascal and couldn't. And he said, try again. So I tried again, and same answer. Pascal did come on the phone, said he couldn't come. So then I went back to Bob, and I kept saying, oh Lord, Bob, I'll try my best. And he sent me back, I don't know how many times, just to test my patience. And each time I said, oh Lord. So in the end, Barney, as a joke, used to say, Baba, oh Lord, it's here.
Oh Lord.
I do say that quite a lot. Oh, I'll tell you the story of the ice cream. I don't know if Kitty remembers this. At Nancy. When it was our birthday, Barbara said we could have ice cream as a treat. And it happened to be my birthday on the 10th of February. And he was there supervising for the big opening of his birthday. And a message came, Dee and Margaret are to go to Barbara. Barbara wants you. So I put on my best dress, I thought, for my birthday, I'm going to have a marvelous birthday kiss. And Margaret was sad, said, well, I don't mind Margaret coming, perhaps she'd also have one. So we rushed up, and as we got to the door, we saw Barbara sitting on the bed, shaking his head like that, and looking terribly sad and serious. And he beckoned us to sit by him, and he said, and to think, he said, that you, Margaret, could have said such a thing. It was reported to me that you had said that I was only doing this to impress the Westerners, and that Delia had agreed with you. Well, it was true that Margaret had said something in a joke with her tongue in her cheek, more or less, and I had nodded my head. Anyway, by the end of it, Margaret, I never, hardly, doesn't cry very often, but she was in floods of tears, and then I was in floods sobbing. And Barbara then took pity on us, took us by the hand, led us into the dining room where they were all waiting, and said, oh dear, they've had a ticking off. sat us down, and the tears were still pouring down as we said, eat your ice cream. Apparently ice cream has some special significance. I read it somewhere in relationship to jar. Something like this. I think I've exhausted all my most of my stuff.
What is your impression of the centre now, having been away so long?
Oh, I think I'm delighted you asked me that question, because I think it's fantastic the work that we've done here. And that Barbara had emphasized so often that the spiritual revival would take place in America. And I'm so pleased to hear from Kitty and James that 300 people are now living all around this centre. And Jane took me round yesterday and showed me all the new parts and what had been done. And I think you're all very fortunate to be living here. And surely it could go on, from what I gather, expanding and expanding, and more people will come, because Barbara loved it here. This is his centre. And the work has to be done, perhaps radiate from here.
Could you give us some recollections about Elizabeth?
Well, I think Elizabeth was a most remarkable woman. It was interesting to see her with Dorina. She was always calm. Dorina was very excitable, and Barbara put them to work together. And Elizabeth was a power of strength in everything. In 1948, she was forming the Universal Spiritual League. And I said to Barbara, I think we should have something like that in England. And Barbara said, consult Elizabeth and work with her, and she will explain and keep in touch with her. And I felt very strong links here with Elizabeth, Dorina, all the Americans for the matter of that, but I have the greatest admiration and love for Elizabeth. I think she was the most wonderful disciple of Barbara Lava. Yes, I read that somewhere.
I think Barbara used it in a special way. Because if you wanted to have a crisis of some kind or other, It invariably happens on the occasion where we were there to have ice cream and cake. Whether it was there or there, it always seems to be something to go wrong before we go on recess.